Hello and welcome to another episode of Toonami Therapy, where we go through the shows that aired on Toonami because we do that. That's the name of the podcast, and that's what we're going to do until we possibly rename it. I am Michael, and my co-host here is Tommy. And
yeah.
Yep. Well spoken. This time it'll be the episode, we'll be going over the show episodes that aired on August 19th and 20th. But first, a word from our sponsor. Okay, now we're going to begin with Dragon Ball Super Episode 30, in which was basically a clip show for the most part, but was actually kind of decent at that, considering it was actually pretty, because it, initially I was actually, well, I'll just get through that stuff. Basically, what ends up, not, like, terribly much happened. Like I said, it's mostly an excuse for characters to kind of talk about stuff that happened in the past and show clips of it. In some cases, things that happened within the last two or three episodes. And, yeah, that's...
And characters talk back to the narrator.
Yes. That actually was really funny. Because initially I was thinking, this is just boring, we're seeing all this stuff. And then it just goes on and Goku starts arguing with the narrator in the flashback. Which makes no sense, but who cares? It was hilarious. It reminded me of like a Bobobo or Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, that was a pretty good moment.
And also there's a part where Krillin was talking. Yeah, he was giving this sort of flashback. I think this was new material. And for some Itien and like Marin's voice sound like Krillin trying to do their voices in that part. which I thought was it was just funny. But unfortunately, for the most part, this is really just kind of a recap episode, even if it did have some really funny parts in it. A lot better than Hunter x Hunter's recap episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. You also had Goku trying to convince Boo to fight in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And then Gohan refusing the fight because... he has to feed his family, so which I don't get that at all. But okay, Piccolo is gonna fight, and Piccolo is almost certain to lose given how well he's performed in Dragon Ball Z Kai. I get the feeling he's just there to handicap Goku's team.
Well. He's still better than Chad from Bleach. He's at least likely to possibly do something semi-plot relevant before inevitably losing. okay. So, not too much to say. Like you said, the main thing was that they figured out who the other two members were, and then just sort of. But yeah, they at least. If it was sort of a recap clip show episode, they at least did have a little fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dragon Ball Z Kai, episode 129. I hope I'm getting all these episode things right, because I wrote them down. I always write them down so I can say them, but I think I might have goofed them up at some point. I think I fixed them, but we'll just to mention. So, there's a bunch of stuff with some of the other characters getting the Dragon Balls, which isn't really that important. So, yeah. The important stuff, though, is that the fighting characters have managed to meet up at the sort of lookout place, and it's suggested that basically what they're going to try to do is have Goten and Trunks learn the fusion technique in order to make themselves super strong and possibly be able to defeat Boo, who meanwhile is basically destroying stuff on Babidi's command, but also briefly gets excited by a roller coaster. I think I covered everything. Did I miss anything?
No, that's all I remember.
Yeah. And that's what happened. It's just too often on Dragon Ball with Yukai. It's like, this is what happened. I have nothing really to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, here's something more that there's probably more to talk about. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusader Episode 8.
Episode 8?
I'm sorry, I'm 4. 4. I meant to say 4. I don't know why I said 8. I'm looking literally at it says Episode 4, and somehow I said 8. I don't know where that why that number came from. Episode 4. I normally when I get the numbers mixed up, I can at least figure out how I did it. I have no idea how I got that. Mm-hmm. Okay. My mind going to 8 for some reason otherwise. They're on a plane to Egypt, someone else is there sent by Dio to fight them, and he has his own stand, which is named Tower of Grey, because all the stands seem to be named after a tarot card and a color. So mm-hmm. I wonder when we'll be getting to the mahogany priestess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the actual name. I just tossed that out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a sort of weird beetle thing, and it mentions that the guy uses it to sort of crash things like planes or trains and make them look like accidents. I'm not entirely sure how he survives doing so. I don't think it really explained that, but maybe he just flies off on the with his stand. So they try to fight it, and ultimately Kakyoin is the one to defeat it, because he basically has his stand launch all of these things at it, which is able to dodge because it's so fast. But it turns out that was all just a ploy to get it to a particular location so that he could then use the sort of tentacles from it to stab it and kill it. And then that kills an old guy. I mean, because it was his stand. He was the bad guy all along. And they, So they, and unfortunately, the Tower of Grey killed the pilot, so our heroes end up going into the cockpit and having to land it themselves. And it's noted how this is the third plane crash Joseph has been in, which is actually really funny. I'm never flying, when JoJo says, I'm never flying with you again.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up getting into, I can't remember. Was it Hong Kong? Was that where they ended up?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they decide, well, we can't go through any planes again because of the, potential risks to passengers. I'm not sure why they can't just get, a charter flight. I mean, they do... own a big company, have a decent amount of money. Maybe people just really don't want to fly with Joseph. But then someone else pops up with their own stand, which was something chariot, I can't remember, or wheel? Silver Chariot, who, is about to fight them, and that's where the episode ends.
Yeah. After they order food at that restaurant in Hong Kong, which you just land at some random place, and you're immediately... run into someone who's got a stand and who works for Dio. what are the chances of that happening?
Yeah. This was a pretty good episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There were a few sort of nitpicks I have. There's all this stuff going on and none of the passengers seem to be paying any attention. Now, true they can't see stands, so that's fine. Mm-hmm. But you still got these guys in the plane standing up and talking about all this stuff, and no one is paying any attention, which was a little weird. Also, I random note, it's actually this took place in I can't remember the year this takes place in. I think it's like the late 1980s, 1988 or something like that. I was just going to note, well, that their thing of just going into the cockpit, I don't think it's a good thing they did that. That happened then, because nowadays it's actually not possible for them to get into the cockpit like that, because they, you know, put all the safeguards out to prevent, you know, hijackings and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fairly entertaining episode. There are like some funny moments. The fight was a little sort of simple, I think, but all the stuff around it was pretty good. There wasn't that it did what it was supposed to do, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Tokyo Ghoul episode 19. So, let's see. So the big stuff is that Kaneki ends up running into Toka again, and, you know, mentions that he's there with Aigiri Tree to try to protect them or something, and she gets all angry about it and such. But so then she, like kind of punches him or something and leaves. And then, like, it's like, oh, dang, well, that was I kind of messed it up. I should have talked to him more. Meanwhile, two of the guys from the CCG, the Juzo and Shinohara, like, get some tip that Anteku might have ghouls or something, so they just kind of go there to eat, and then they just leave, and, you know, it's indicated that Shinohara is caught on to something there, because he says he's planning to return. And then there's some other stuff, but I'm not really sure how to describe it. And it was with secondary characters, so whatever.
Yeah, it was nice to see Kaneki again. Mm-hmm. And he ran into Toka, and Toka wasn't too nice to him.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, not too surprising. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll... Yeah, there's never seems to be that much to say about Tokyo Ghoul. So let's move on to Hunter x Hunter episode 63.
Yeah, so this episode, basically, Bisky, and that's what they call her, Bisky, C decides that she's going to start training Gon and Killua, and then there's... And Gon and Killua was like, oh, we already have a master. We have Mr. Wing. She's like, oh, Mr. Wing's one of my students, so, or former one of her students. And so they finally decide they're going to do it, and they're going to train with her. So they first have this bounty hunter they run into, and basically they use him for training, and... then, Bisky takes them to this, city where they buy certain cards, and they go all the way back, and, those cards are used to turn into subbles and stuff, so Gon and Killua can now mine their way all the way back to that city where they just came from, and... They also have to sleep with their arms tied to rocks that can fall down on them at any second, which I think is stretching the lines of believability there. And they're going to be training under her for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure. I think the series already has done a lot of stressing the like believability, like when they mention when Biscuit suggests going 90 kilometers in 3 hours, which by the way is running at an average of nearly 19 miles per hour.
Really?
Yeah, I did the calculations for reference. The fastest marathon by an American runner was at the Boston Marathon in 2011, and the average speed of him was 12.6 miles per hour. And this is, of course, longer than that. Although, here's something that I found really weird. So Biscuits says we do that, and Killua and Gon react to this like it's some sort of like and stuff. And I'm thinking, you guys ran a double marathon in the Hunter exam, and you didn't seem to have any problems. Now, maybe here you're going faster than that, but still, I would think that after all the training and pump yourself up, if you could do it back then, this should be no problem, that you shouldn't even really complain about it.
Oh, I forgot all about the double marathon.
Okay. One thing I noticed is that we, of course, get the backstory on the Bounty Hunter Beedolt character, and surprisingly, he does not die this episode as a result of that. Although he doesn't, I don't think he ever shows up again, so I guess he effectively died anyway. maybe he just, as far for all we know, he just tripped and fell off a cliff by accident. except it took him a few seconds to realize that, and then he fell, like Wile E. Coyote. I don't know where I was going with that. Okay, one other thing, and this is going to be the silliest thing to mention, but it is something I noticed. So when Biscuit shows the Blue Planet card, and it has a translation of the Japanese text on screen, and saying, a unique blue jewel. Its composition does not correspond to any known mineral, blah, 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 blah. There's a typo. It says "its" with an apostrophe. There should not be an apostrophe in "its" when it is used as a possessive. Did the people who translated this never hear Weird Al song "Word Crimes"? I don't know. It just was a little weird to notice a typo like that in here. But yeah, otherwise, on the whole, I thought outside of a sort of a few nitpicks and stuff, on the whole, this was a decent episode. Yeah, and it mentions about how they've developed a new part of Nen named Shu, which, like everything, all the other subsets of Nen, is basically just Nen. I mean, they've got all these names for different parts. And it's like these all blur together, honestly. Okay, Lupin the Third, Episode 9. So this time, Lupin and Jigen are off to visit this supposedly haunted hotel to try to find some treasure, because they think, you know, the people there are trying to scare guests away, because this takes place in the world of Scooby-Doo, I guess. anyway, so Lupin does manage to find a secret path. And that actually is the case. He was having his daughter sort of dress up as a ghost to try to make it so that if anyone found...
Oh, I just think it's funny because it's just like Scooby.
I know. It is. Although the funny thing is, as it's mentioned here, he says that it wasn't really about hiding a treasure because they didn't know about any. They were actually trying to do the opposite, to do that to try to make people come to the haunted place. Which, honestly, if that was the case, if someone was trying to do that in Scooby-Doo, that would actually just attract all the people who all like the paranormal nuts to try to get pictures and stuff, as well as the people, you know, who show up to try to like prove no, there's not really a ghost or anything. I mean, if you want to try to get people to come to your place, you probably the Scooby-Doo thing of dressing up as a monster is actually likely to get people to come, honestly, in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is off topic, but do you remember the Scooby cartoon movies from the 90s? Those were awful.
Do you mean like the 1 hour TV series, or do you mean like
they were like Scooby Doo on Zombie Island and stuff, and they were just terrible. And they like tried to beat they like made Scooby Doo into a serious show. They made it like all real horror and like real bad guys and all serious stuff. It was like they tried to make Scooby-Doo serious, and it was just terrible. It was from the 90s.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about, because there's actually a series called the New Scooby Doo Movies, which was just this hour long a Scooby Doo series that usually had a bunch of like them interacting, meet like some sort of
that wasn't
guest
it.
Stuff, which were sometimes which was sometimes real people like the Harlem Globetrotters, and sometimes fictional ones like when they met up with Batman and Robin. Or the Addams Family. I'm remembering that show.
No, those were pretty good. Yeah. But the ones from the 90s, those were just terrible.
I remember seeing Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island. I don't remember disliking it, but it was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so Lupin, though, is thinking that, you know, it's a Scooby-Doo thing to get people to frighten people off. So he ends up finding the guy's apparently younger daughter, who is also, you know, apparently into that thing. Anyway, she's willing to show him where the treasure is. And there's also some stuff along the way about this small gang of criminals who are also after it that kind of come into conflict with them, except they're kind of dumb. Like, for example, when I just remember the part Lupin refers to them as like the dumbest criminals in all of Italy. And considering some of the stuff, you kind of have to agree, like the part where he's like standing on this ledge, and rather than trying to push him off or anything, they just take him and put him in like this a room with one of those like sort of falling ceiling things to try to kill him by squishing him. And I'm just like, you could have just pushed him off the ledge instead. By the way, why do people have is that like a thing in actual castles, like anywhere, you know, the ceiling that just drops down and squashes people?
Yeah. I'm not sure about that one.
Because it seems to happen in so many like series and stuff. Well, yeah. Although, unlike in Resident Evil 4, the way to stop it is not to just shoot the four red glowing things on the ceiling.
Did I ever tell you about the time like I had, as a school project, I had to like calculate the areas of like all the rooms in Buckingham Palace or wherever, whatever the biggest place is. It was like I had to calculate, I had to take a ruler and calculate like what the area of like every single room was in the entire castle. It was like one of the most tedious things you could ever imagine. Like, it wasn't hard, it was just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And, it was, like, really dull. And then I never found out, like, it was for a project in college. And then once I did it, he just, like, took the results and never told me what he did with the results. So, my professor. So, it was, like, I don't understand why he did it, but I wasted hours, maybe days of my life doing that.
So, wait, you said that you used a ruler. Were you actually over in Buckingham?
No, Okay. I mean, he would give us a floor plan of it. Okay? He would give us a floor plan, and then we would have to use a ruler to figure out, like, try to calculate exactly. We weren't actually in the
Just so I was, because you said like you used a ruler, so I was thinking that sounds a little weird.
No, not that, okay. Not that tedious. but I do remember though that in my high school, my gym teacher had to measure around a mile with just a yardstick to try to figure out how far a 1 mile run would be. So, yeah. I'm sorry. I went off.
No, that's fine. Reminds me of, in my high school, we had to do this thing where it wasn't it where we this one did require a bunch of measuring. Basically, we sort of had to make a map of the area around the school. So you had to measure, like, you know, how far everything, like, around the school was and the distances from it to everything around it, like, you know, like maybe a fence around someplace and like where trees were. It kind of felt like, honestly, it felt like a pretty big waste of time in retrospect, because we had to spend like a whole month on this.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, eventually Lupin ends up finding the treasure thing, and it turns out that because the treasure stuff was hidden because of I didn't even give the backstory that was sort of important to this. I can't remember, except I can't remember all the specifics. Well, okay, to try to skip, because the treasure belonged to this girl who was killed because, I can't remember, but it was some sort of thing about, like, they did, that wasn't it. I'm trying to remember exactly how it.
It's okay.
Okay, but long story short, they find it. It turns out that the girl was actually because we just assumed she was the sister of the actual girl who lived there, but no, she's actually the sister of the girl who died all that a time ago. So she was actually a ghost the whole time, and then, you know, yay, she someone found the treasure, so she can disappear and rest in peace and such. And, and that's the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a little confusing, but,
I didn't see the twist coming, which in retrospect I should have, because, of the fact, I probably should have, because of, like, you know, the mention of some of and the fact that things weren't really lining up. It was, I thought it was a pretty well set up twist. And I mm-hmm. thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention. So, the bad guys do have, like, these guns, and Lupin is able to shoot the guns out of their hands. So, guns can hit with perfect precision as long as you're not actually shooting at someone. You can shoot the guns off their hands, but you can't actually shoot anyone successfully. I think it's become obvious that all of the guns in this series have a mind of their own and will deliberately miss if you're trying to potentially kill someone with them.
That's pretty funny.
Okay. So, Naruto, episode 170. Well, after all of that stuff where we were going to get into the flashback in pain, filler time! And not just any filler, this is filler that was happening way back in
the tune-in exams.
And I'm just thinking, wow, anyone who, like, you know, has started watching Naruto within the last, like, I don't know, like, even 5 years before this point would be completely confused because they wouldn't have seen any of this. And there's characters that even make references to it, like, you know, when someone mentions about Gaara, like, how he's important to the plan and stuff. Well, if you never saw the tuning exam arc, you'd have no clue what they were talking about.
I was happy to see Temari again. Temari was one of my favorites, and I haven't seen her in so long. I can't even remember in fact, since we started doing the podcast, and I mean our original podcast, ever since then, I don't think Temari has appeared in an episode up until this one right here.
To be fair, I don't think we've seen Gaara or Konkoro during that time period either. So
yeah, you're right about that. We got to see the old-fashioned Sakura and Ino arguing. That was a real blast from the past. The whole thing where they called her Forehead something and Ino Pig. They were arguing with each other.
Yeah. We even saw briefly remember that inner Sakura joke that they all
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then that just stopped at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, it was supposed to show that she kind of grew past that, but it's just like, wow, I forgot that was even a thing at some point. This episode did do a really good job, like, portraying the characters as they were back then, which was actually kind of interesting to watch and see, oh, yeah, these guys actually have changed over the series. Like, it's especially weird because the newest chapter of the Boruto manga came out this week, and I read it a little before this. So it's really weird to go from that, in which Konohamaru, which takes place, you know, in the future, and Konohamaru is an adult, and then just see him as a young little kid again here. So, yeah. Anyway, the actual plot of it is that Naruto hears someone mentioning the fourth, like, he hears Jiraiya mentioned something about Naruto possibly using the fourth Hokage's legacy in it, except he can't get an answer from anyone about who that is, except for Guy, who decides to just basically claim it's some sort of treasure or something in this area, and then just to sort of, I guess, get Naruto to just go for it. And, you know, Naruto recruits other people to look for it. It is really funny when they're going to the place where it supposedly is, and then you see Guy in this really bad disguise and is, like, trying to tell him about how, like, you know, you need to go here to find it, and accidentally drops this scroll with all sorts of hints. And everyone sees through it except for Naruto. I mean, Guy doesn't even cover up his eyebrows. That's the giveaway.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. So they end up, so they, like, kind of start going on that thing, and they come across this sort of initial obstacle, this sort of spider's web, and they manage to get past that and beat the spider, which just turned out to be a summoning. And then they just sort of And that's the end of the episode, where, and I assume they're going to keep going on it in the next episode. Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weirdly placed filler, but I'm going to say it actually was pretty enjoyable filler. It kind of feels like this might have been something to better put, I don't know, at the end of an arc or something, instead of just having it, okay, we're going to give some important backstory, but first, filler comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, finally, we end up with the premiere of the new series, except it's actually an old series that they aired before, that they're re-airing. Outlaw Star, which is actually uncut this time around, which I was thinking, huh, well, this seems a bit more violent than they would have gotten past. So I looked like, oh, they actually edited that stuff back then. Okay. In the original, I'll get through the plot. So basically, the plot concerns these two characters named Gene Starwind and Jim Hawking. I can't remember offhand. Basically, they end up sort of getting contracted by this woman to sort of get them some stuff and serve as bodyguards. But of course, she's actually on the run from a bunch of these sort of pirates, so they end up sort of having to tangle with them in protecting her and stuff. So they, you know, end up getting into this big fight about that and sort of manage to fight them off. And then eventually it turns out that she was after some sort of supposed treasure. Wow, another episode with... Wait. This is three... That's three shows in a row about that have characters trying to find a treasure. Lupin the Third, Naruto, and now this.
Too bad One Piece wasn't on.
Yeah. Wow. That's, and they're even in a row. Okay. But then it turns, apparently, so they open something up, but it turns out to actually be this girl. And that's the episode. And I probably didn't do a great job explaining it. But a lot of this was kind of more about establishing characters and stuff than, you know, going straight into the plot.
Although that one character's voice was really annoying.
Which one?
the little boy.
Oh, I didn't mind his. Yeah, personally,
his voice was just but again, this is from so many years ago, so dubs weren't as good back then as they are now. You get a lot higher quality voices in dubs today. So I'll give him a pass. It was just really getting on my nerves. Plus, I was thinking, he's way too young to be named Jim. Like, I can't think of anyone young named Jim.
His name is James. Jim is a nickname, mm-hmm. still. So, actually, is everyone name? Is Jim like an actual name, or is it just always a nickname? I'm not sure.
Not sure.
Okay. Yeah. So, I haven't seen the show in a long time, and I forgot a lot of things about it. I thought it was a pretty good first episode for a series.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, too. I thought it was entertaining. I was into it. I think that it accomplished its goal of establishing what the series is like. And,
So. As well as introducing the characters. It did a pretty good job on that. And like I mentioned, it was like more edited in the original run. They sort of like, you know, censored out some of the blood, toned down on some of the language. And surprise, surprise, that scene with Gene and that prostitute did not make it to the original Toonami airing. Yeah. But yeah, I was honestly quite impressed by this episode. It just established things, it got things going. It was one of the better first episodes I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was good.
Okay, so I suppose that's it there. I suppose we can go to give our favorites of the night. I kind of had, this was a tricky one for me because there were a bunch of a good stuff tonight. I think I'm going to actually pick Outlaw Star. I thought this was a really good first episode.
I'm going with JoJo. So, Hunter Hunter is slowly creeping down the road to getting stupid, but it's still all right right now. It wasn't as good as the last episode, so I'm going with JoJo for this week.
Okay. Yeah. So, I suppose that's there. Anything else to discuss?
Well, I wanted to talk about this show I've been watching called Azumanga Daioh, and it's a lot different from Lucky Star. Like, I was expecting it was going to be like the same thing as Lucky Star, except an older series, but it's actually a lot different. Like, Lucky Star, it's just like just four girls talking about things and making random observations. And this series, it's just like completely bizarre. Azumanga Daioh is. It's just like, I mean, some of the stuff, it like one episode was all about four girls having like their dreams, like their best dream ever, and having these off the wall scenarios that it was just crazy. And it's actually really funny. And I actually like it more than I like Lucky Star, which I didn't like Lucky Star at first, but it grew on me as it went along. Whereas this show I've kind of liked from the very start. And I'd recommend it to anyone who likes humor style animes.
Yeah, it was a pretty funny show. I just can never think of it though without this really goofy sort of AMV I saw of it, which doesn't really seem to be on YouTube anymore, which is a shame because I thought it was really funny. It just took scenes from the series and then it just sort of took it did that thing. It wasn't really an AMV exactly. It was one of those things where you know, you take dialogue from one series and you just kind of overlap it on scenes from another series to make it look like the characters are saying those lines. It was one of those things, and it was really and it was really funny, but yeah. Now, I actually saw that before I watched any of the series. It was part of the thing that made me check it out to begin with. Okay, so yeah, I don't really know if there's anything that interesting for me to add. I suppose I could try to. Well, okay, here's, I guess, something. When you when you're stalling, when you're having trouble thinking of how to close out something, and you're just kind of doing this, then that's a sign to just give up and end the thing. The end.